Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And we say welcome to another live program of Hope is Alive, coming to you from the Radio Ranch, and we'll bring the men on. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Greetings again from Oklahoma.
And greetings from here, from Laramie. As we said on the prayer meeting, we've got a little 5,200-acre fire raging out in the forest, just a few miles away from us, but I don't think it's going to bother us here. We're still kind of flooded out here at the Radio Ranch. But, men, again, good evening, and I know we've got Kevin calling in, and I'll sure let you know when he does.
All right, thank you, sir. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about doing the supernatural works of Jesus, commonly called deliverance. And if you have any information regarding deliverance, you can get a hold of us at deliveranceusa.com. You can go to the website there, and you can check out anything that needs to be done about the questions. We got prayers we talk about that are on there, the breaking of godly soul ties, the testimonies of different people and the things they've been delivered from, and of course, training. But you can, any information you need is info@deliveranceusa.com. Or get a hold of Richard at the office at 307-742-7582, and he'll get your name and number and get a hold of one of us. Pastor, good evening from Oklahoma and myself. I am in Oklahoma this week working. So we're both coming live from Oklahoma this evening.
All right. Well, you're becoming kind of an Okie, Ralph.
By default, I am. I'm spending a lot of time in this state.
All right. Well, great to have you.
Great
we had a great Monday evening. We had 18 cases and a minister for each, and it was just an awesome evening. I had a great case, an older man, and just went by the book, and he looked so different when we... actually, about halfway through, he started looking different. He had alcohol, drug problem, he'd lost his teaching certificate, and a number of other things. So it was a tremendous overhaul for him. And then I had another one Tuesday that was spectacular. And a 20-year-old young lady that I've known her family and ministered to many in her family, her parents, for years. And so that was at the ministry office. And the most spectacular thing, while the deliverance went wonderful, inner healing a lot there, breaking of ungodly soul ties went extremely well. The door closing did too, of course. And then got into ministry. I could not get the head demon up, so I just did basic deliverance. And she yawned him out, burped a few times. One came out of her nose, she said. And so, anyway, she was feeling better and better. And so that went really, really well. She yawned him. I mentioned that, but you know, people so many times do feel them moving in their body, and she was no exception. I had told her what to expect. That often happens. And I handed her a small battery, her Bible, a small Bible, to put on herself as it might be needed. And so here she is, ministering, you know, and she's taking that Bible, moving it around on herself, and as the spirits move up and head around her neck and stuff. And that went very well. But the most spectacular thing, well, actually all of those are, but she had a scoliosis problem and had surgery, and there was kind of a mess up or something, and she had pain for some time as a result. And that was another one of the reasons she had come. And so when I did the limb check, first off, she had a short leg by about 5/8 of an inch. And as I just commanded in Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go, and it just shot out. And she her leg kind of jerked, actually. She, of course, felt it. And then when I went to check her arms, I haven't seen one like this in quite some time. It was a minimum of 1.5 inches short on her left arm, I think it was. And so I had her move her. I had her bend at the elbow so she could see how short it was, and then put them back out. And then I put my hand under her, two hands, and in Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go, command alignment, command balance. And it just came right on out. And again, her arm kind of moved, you know, like it was fast. And her eyes were as big as saucers. And the bulk of the pain was gone. I had to pray additionally some, and putting the Bible on her back there. And then when she left, there was no pain. I mean, when we finished. And then she got the baptism of the Holy Spirit after that. It was a beautiful prayer language in tongues. So I would have to say she got a Jesus overhaul. Amen?
It sounds like it. And that is just amazing. I know we've talked about it many times, but if you're not sure what Pastor's talking about, is the limb check, and it's taking people's hands. A lot of times their bodies are out of alignment, and when they're out of alignment, you can see it sometimes, you know, at 1/2 inch or 2 inches. And we just operate in our authority there, commanding the spine to line up, the arm and the legs and everything, and sometimes it's just real dramatic, like Pastor talks. Boom, it just happens, and sometimes you can actually, it's slow enough that you can see it happening as it lines up and adjusts. So it is a pretty neat thing. I haven't had quite the experience yet. The people I performed it on just asked about it, with the exception of one, they were all in alignment. So,
you know how
I got to get some crooked people. So.
Yes, how people, you know, how they have to go to chiropractors a lot to get an adjustment. And that's what was happening there. It just shows this amazing power that all of us have to speak in the name of Jesus. You know, all of our team leaders do this. This is normal Christianity. I don't have any special gifts. I can teach any of our ministers, and they are doing it, or anyone else that wants to learn it. Normal Christianity. And of course, I didn't know about this until 40 years ago, but the church I started going to back then in 78 was doing the limb check then, and I was seeing short legs and arms move out, which certainly confirms there is this amazing power as we speak in Jesus' name.
Amen. Pastor, we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Kevin. Thank you for calling.
Everett, how you doing, my brother?
Well, I am blessed, and I've heard that about you.
Well, you know, it was so great to get to see you, Everett. The impact that you have made on my life and on the lives of thousands of people because of your deliverance ministry and because, Pastor, the way that you took a tragedy in your life that, as you know, you and I were both very deeply altered in 1978 and in our own lives. And from tragedy often comes triumph, and that only happens when amazing people of prayer help broken people like us to get up and walk again. And so it's an honor to be with y'all today.
Oh, great to have you, Kevin. And I know you have a lot of testimony, and it's all exciting. Just kind of let the Holy Spirit lead you, Kevin. It's basically giving some, you know, history on you and how you got into the ministry, even learned how you got born again initially, even, and into the ministry, and then share, of course, we want to hear your exciting testimony of your physical healing. That's going to be major here tonight.
Well, thank you, and Ralph, thank you. It is truly only because the Lord is a gracious God, and I grew up in a family that really loved the Lord, and my parents really took me to church and at an early age, and they felt the need to teach us. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from those very core messages of truth. And we found the Word of God to be not just a book of the month, but the book of the ages that could change our lives. And at a very young age, I had a best friend, Everett. His name was Bob Hoffman. And Bob's dad was Jimmy Hoffman, and he preached every Sunday in a Baptist church, and he preached loud. There's, you know, in those old Southern Baptist churches, he would yell up a storm. And I remember one day I saw Bob on a Sunday walk forward, and he came to know the Lord, and he was 6 and I was 5, and I said, well, you know, if Bob Hoffman would think that this was important enough, I need to follow suit. And I went forward, and when I did, God came into my life. But there's a difference in making God the Savior of your life versus the Lord of your life. And I ended up, like a lot of kids, just kind of got away from anything of really following the God that I had professed at this very young age, and realized that school and popularity and all the things that you might try to look for, everything, they kind of consumed me. And then I went off to college, to the University of Oklahoma, where I became a cheerleader at Oklahoma University, and it was wonderful, and I loved the attention, but I wasn't making God the Lord of my life. And I think that so much of us, we get involved in religion or in habits that are not necessarily core to understanding what it truly means to put Him in the driver's seat and let go. And I was not very good at letting go and letting God. And as you know, the first tragedy hit in our life when Everett, your daughter, went to Colorado on a ski trip, and she never came home. She had that seizure in the hot tub, and I ended up in your home devastated, confused, with all of our good friends asking why did Lori Cox live such a short life. And it changed me. I was changed in a large way. And you know what happened to me? I went back to college, and I wasn't the same. It had arrested my heart and spirit. Well, I was in a play, and some very famous people came into the makeup room, and they said, Kevin, you're an acting directing major. What are you doing in Oklahoma? You need to come to Los Angeles. Well, I ended up moving to Los Angeles, and I began working at Disney Studios. And it was a wonderful opportunity for me because I'd always wanted to work for a family-based company. And, you know, I realized real quickly that Disney wasn't all what it was cracked up. In fact, Touchstone Pictures was starting, and Errol Hanna and Tom Hanks had made a movie called Splash and had diverted from that G-rated movies that we grew up on as kids, Everett. And what happened is they weren't making films of family anymore. I came back to Oklahoma and disillusioned, and I really decided I need to make God the very Lord of my life. And when he came into my heart from a standpoint of becoming my Lord, it changed me. And I began working with Dr. Wendell Estep, who was a pastor at a local church. He began to disciple me. He loved on me. He told me about the Bible in a new way. It's like I was had opened up my eyes and realized that I needed to do something. But I had this inside my heart, this feeling that I wanted to use the visual language of film to impact culture, and yet I wasn't using that skill set. So I got involved in media, started working with ESPN, started working with church, and you know, I've spent now 43 years, the majority of my career, making film, and I can honestly say, Everett, that the only films I've ever made are films of family and faith and freedom. And I realize you don't have to compromise your faith. You don't have to.
Praise God.
You don't have to make films that have scenes that embarrass you or embarrass your children or your grandchildren. You got to take a stand, and you got to do that early on. And I just pray that anyone listening to this broadcast, if they're young and they're thinking about wanting to go into motion pictures, you can be a person of conviction. And you can follow the Lord, and you can do what he's called you to do. All the partners around me, all the people around me, we're equally yoked. And we're doing this because we feel like we have a calling on our life. And I believe that is the real key, and the key to success is not just following God, but being obedient to the Lord, to follow him and taking a stand so we never compromise our convictions.
Yes, praise God. Awesome, Kevin. So, where'd you go from there?
Well, I was recruited, fortunately, by the Hobby Lobby Corporation, the Green family, which now have the Museum of the Bible. They recruited me to be the CEO of their film company, and we entitled that film company Bearing Fruit Communications. I made a movie with 20th Century Fox and the wonderful people at Bearing Fruit called Beyond the Gates of Splendor, about missionaries in the jungles of Ecuador, the five very famous missionaries that gave their life and were martyred. And then we made, after that film, our second movie with 20th Century Fox called End of the Spear. And it was a motion picture about these five guys that went into the jungles of Ecuador to reach out to these Waldani Indian tribe, and the tribe was killing people. They were not cannibals, but they were spearing people Onokia for no reason. And as a result of that, they were all martyred, and the widows went back in to live with the tribe that killed the husband, and those widows began to preach the gospel. and they begin to share the good news of what God could do to change their lives. And the Waldani was transformed as a tribe, not all of them, but they all of a sudden, many of them realized that this same Jesus was the Jesus they wanted to know. And it was a real honor for me to have the opportunity, actually, to do those movies. In fact, if I had not done those films, Jim Gromer, who's my screenwriting partner, his mom prayed for me right before I came on the air tonight. You know, Jim first reached out to me, or was trying to find me, when I was in Oklahoma City at the Hobby Lobby headquarters, or out at Sony Pictures in Los Angeles. God took me, used me 8 years there, and then my son ended up marrying one of the Green daughters. But Everett, I'm going to have you talk to David Green, because I don't get any discounts at Hobby Lobby. So we've got to somehow work out where I can get a discount at Hobby Lobby. But my son is married to Lauren, and they are head of faith-based initiatives for Museum of the Bible now. And I've just been doing movies ever since, and it's been a wonderful experience. It really has.
Yes. Oh, how exciting. way beyond the typical activity of an Oklahoman, Kevin.
So, yes, sir. And you know, those doors open sometimes, Everett, as they have for you. You know, Pastor, you all of a sudden are going down one path, and then all of a sudden God begins to show off and open up doors that you don't deserve. And you just know that it has nothing to do with you. It's all God. And it's a wonderful thing to be in a position of following him. I finished another movie called Last Ounce of Courage, which I dedicated to the United States military. And that was a wonderful opportunity, because I started a nonprofit called Veritas Mission Films. And that is a ministry that I have, to work on films that use the visual language to impact culture. And we make films about family, faith, and freedom. And I put a team together. Stephanie Musser is our vice president. She's been with us a decade. Julie Spencer has been with us. We have a group of people that have just kind of come together to come around and wrap around us. And when I started Veritas, one of the things I felt like I needed was prayer. So I started a prayer team. And one of the things that I'd like, Everett, for you to do especially is be praying for our organization as we make movies about God, because the more that we can touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ in everything that we do, it is therein that we will be fulfilling the call of God in our lives. In fact, the very first movie out of 114 screenplays that came to us after Last Ounce of Courage, Chuck Norris endorsed our movie. The one that impacted me the most was Jim Gromer's Jesus, the Last Supper. And I remember calling Stephanie, I called our team around us, and I said, there's something so very magical about this man and about his writing. Jim had worked with ABC and the Stars Network, and he's one of the camera operators now for the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to have to become a Broncos fan. I've always been a Cowboys fan, but now I'm a Broncos fan, because there is something special happening in Colorado with this particular story. So we're making a movie about Jesus and the relationship he had with his disciples. And we're going to start right at the Last Supper and tell the story of how Christ impacted these men closest to him, and then go through a positive message of the miracles of Jesus and of the miracles that really we're going to talk about tonight, and even the miracle that changed my life.
Praise God. That's awesome, Kevin. What action. Yes. And where the Lord will lead you from here is obviously high adventure.
You know, it really is all his. Yes, it's all his adventure. You know, we're following his journey. We need to get out of the way. What's happened to us is stories have started coming to us. We have a company called the Filmmakers Roundtable. You can find it online at books2film.net. And we help people who write books and transition those books into screenplays so that they can be made into movies. And what's been amazing is how God has opened up the doors for us with many authors. Did you know, Everett, we have four movies right now that we're doing that are brand new, that are books that have been written, and we're making those books now into movies, and they're all films of family, faith, and freedom.
Praise God. That's awesome. Wow. Well, Kevin, why don't you go ahead and start sharing some about your illness that you had and what happened?
Well, I'll try to make this as short as possible. But it was January the 8th, 2015. I was on the telephone with Rick Stanley. You may not know his last name, but he was the stepbrother to Elvis Presley. And it would have been Elvis Presley's 80th birthday. And Rick and I were on the phone, and he was talking about how his brother always threw big birthday parties and somewhat lamenting over Elvis's death. Elvis would have been 80 that day. And as I was talking to him, the world began to spin, and I had trouble keeping my eyes open. And in a period of like what seemed like slow motion, I lost control of my body, and it was snowing that day, and I fell to the pavement on our back patio, busted my glasses open, and I did not know what was happening. And it wasn't too much later in time that I found myself in an emergency vehicle being taken to Centennial Hospital, where they looked at me and they said, Dr. McAfee, you've had a massive stroke. And it wasn't just one stroke, it was actually 12 at one time. The doctor said that the prognosis was not good. That particular time I was laying as an invalid and was put in the bed, and they immediately, over the next 6 days in NICU, I was told everything that would be negative about my future. My family began to handicap my home. I had chronic vertigo. I could not walk. And Dr. Valdivia walked in and he said, I'm sorry that you have this massive stroke. And I don't think the prognosis is good, because once you have one, it's like seeing deer, you're going to have others, and there's a good chance that you're not going to live. And so you need to get your house in order. And all those kinds of messages kept coming back, and I looked at the doctor and I said, Dr. Valdivia, you're saying I can't walk. I said, someday God is going to teach me how to run. And he stopped and looked at me, and he said, well, I'm glad you said that, Kevin, and you keep that positive attitude. And I said, he asked me, he said, Kevin, are you a person of faith? Do you have a lot of faith? And I said, no, I really don't. But you see, I believe that you don't need a lot of faith. Because the Bible says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Because yeah. It's like a nuclear power that God gives us. You were talking about it right before I came on, Pastor, about how something happened supernaturally. And I remember Dr. Valdivia leaving the room, and I thought, okay. And did you know who called me in the hospital that night? I'll never forget. It was the singer, Carmen. And he called me up and he said, Kevin, I just want to tell you, think of something positive that you can focus on, but God's going to get you through this. And I had others come by the hospital, and they laid hands on me and they prayed for me, but nothing happened. 16 days, they took me home in a wheelchair, They had handicapped my house. I was unable to move. I had to close my eyes to look at you because that vertigo was going on and on and on, and it was very dangerous what was happening, because I fell into a depression. I didn't do very well, Everett. I didn't remember that lordship that I talked about earlier, and if anything, I felt defeated. I went to a Christian music concert that they had. They invited me to go, that Roma Downey was hosting and Amy Grant, called We Will Stand. And I went to the concert thinking, well, maybe I'll get healed here. But it didn't happen. But Michael and Stormy O'Mardian saw me, and Stormy walked up, and you know, she's written a lot of books on prayer. And Stormy said, Kevin, I don't know what to do. I've never seen you in a wheelchair. What are you doing here? I heard you had a really bad stroke. Why are you here? And I said, I just was encouraged to come. I went home that night. I shared with my family that if the O'Mardians would just come and pray for me, I thought I would get healed. Well, now, I grew up Baptist, Everett. So, you know, we Baptists have to pray extra for healing. We sometimes are not sometimes the believers we need to be. And in fact, you know, we just kind of stand up and sit down in church. Not a lot of healing going on usually. But I felt like I was Baptist-costal, or something was different about me, because when Michael and Stormy told me they were going to come pray for me, I thought that was exactly what needed to happen. And I wrote on Facebook, told everybody, hey, Michael and Stormy are coming to my house tomorrow, and they're going to be praying for me, and I'm going to be healed.
Praise
God. That was a big step. But, you know, sometimes Stephanie always tells me that you have to command it forth. You have to command, you have to ask God to do a miracle. And the question was, did I believe? And I, the night before, I thought, well, I'm going to do a practice run. I tried to walk 3 steps, and I fell on my own. And Coach Hoffman was there, that same young man that I had followed in my testimony. Bob Hoffman, who now is head basketball coach of Mercer University, picked me up off the ground, and he put me back in my bed. He said, now, Kevin, don't do that ever again. You can't try this. Walk on your own. Yet the O'Mardians came to my house the next day. But you know what I had that night? Hundreds of people sent me prayer requests saying, would you pray for me to be healed? This Baptist boy was facing a tragedy in my life, and Michael and Stormy came, and they put their hands on my neck and on my brain. And Stormy said, I have a scripture for you, and Everett, I'd like to read that scripture, if that'd be okay.
Sure.
The scripture is found in Isaiah 60, and it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to your brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. Well, my eyes had been closed. When I looked up, everyone around me was praying. But did you know, for the first time, I didn't have vertigo. I could look up and see. And I realized God was doing something. And then they went on to read, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried at the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of the nations will come. And I realized that proclaiming the praise of the Lord was the key. And when they finished, I started feeling very cold. I started shaking really hard, and it's hard to describe this, honestly, Everett, but I felt like I was going through labored breathing. They had been praying about an hour with their hands on me, and then they asked me if I wanted to stand up, and I said, I tried last night. It didn't go very well. And there was Coach Hoffman, and there was my family sitting there in the room. And I said, no, I want to stand. And I stood up to take a picture with all of them right there. And they asked me to walk, and I said, I want to walk. And they said, we'll help you. I said, no, don't help. I just want to walk. And I started walking. for the first time, and I took 16 steps, and I turned around, and I started walking, and I started, and I kept walking, and I kept walking, and for 20 minutes, I walked. And I said, I want to go outside. And they said, we can't go outside. You're going to fall. I said, nope. I walked down the stairs of our house in Franklin, Tennessee, and there's 10 stairs, and I walked 50 yards to the mailbox, and I took off running as fast as I could. And I can tell you that I didn't deserve to be healed. God healed me in the most miraculous way. And I can trace it back to one thing, that faith that was the faith of the mustard seed. And when I went to the doctors on Monday, this was a Saturday, when I went to the doctors on Monday, I was not wheeled in by a wheelchair. I walked to the front and signed in, and she said, are you the Kevin McAfee that just had the stroke? I said, yes, ma'am. So, well, let us get you a wheelchair. I said, I don't need a wheelchair. And I walked back. Dr. Valdivia, who is a Muslim and a wonderful Muslim friend of mine, wrote on my chart, miracle. And he said, I've never seen this happen in 60 years. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God gave me a second chance, Everett. And I want you to know that I believe it all stems from that little bitty faith. You don't have to have a lot. You just got to have a small, teeny, teeny bit. Even if it's the size of a mustard seed, because that's supersonic in God's warfare. It's so much bigger. It's like kryptonite and Superman. It's the strongest and greatest power on the earth, and that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way.
Yes.
And
Kevin, you were speaking positives. You were speaking positives if you share here off and on. You were healed. You wanted to walk. You were saying these positives. And as the scriptures say, that what you say, its power is in the tongue, and you'll eat the fruits thereof. So as you were speaking those positives, the word was performing itself even then.
You know, it's really true. I read today, my son had a blog, Matthew Bear McAfee is his name, and he serves at the Council Road Church there in Oklahoma City where I just was, in Bethany. And Bear was writing about happiness and about the suicides that have taken place this last couple weeks with Anthony Bourdain and Spade, the interior designer. You know, all of us seek happiness. We think about happiness, but there's a different kind of happiness and joy, and there's a different kind of positives that we speak when we believe truly that God can do something amazing in our lives. And I want you to know, I believe that what I've learned from this is that, you know, people can pray, but we ourselves have to believe so much that we're willing to take a step of faith. And it's scary sometimes to do that. It's not about what denomination you're from. It's about who you follow, and that person is the person of Jesus Christ. And when you follow him, he is the Jesus of Nazareth that heals, and he does miracles, and he does them today. And I got to tell you, this happened to me. A few weeks after I was healed, I got a phone call from a lady that said, Kevin, would you come pray for my sister? I heard about your healing, and she has stage 4 brain cancer. And she's only expected to live about another week and a half. And you know what I did? I went to her house. I had a prayer cloth, a tallit that I wore, and some anointing oil. And I walked in on a Sunday dinner for lunch, and I said, you know, Mary, I just came to pray for you, but I want you to know I'm not here on my own. I'm here in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and he's going to heal you today, and I'm going to anoint you with oil, and we're going to pray. Because you're not going to pass away in a week or 2 weeks. God's got more for you to do. And I went over, and I laid my hands on her brain. I anointed her head with oil, and I prayed for Mary as best as I knew how. I asked the Lord to be around her and her family. Many of them thought I was crazy, I'm sure. And did you know, she lived 2.5 years, and I attended her funeral. And the fact that God saved her for 2.5 years longer let me know, never was about me. It was always about him and his power.
Yes. Yes. Praise God. Wow. And, you know, you may have heard me talking about the healing that we had with that lady's back.
Yes.
Yesterday, the pain was gone, and we saw her limbs adjust, her arm adjust, and leg adjust. And it's just, as we learn more and more, you know, we didn't grow up this way, Kevin. We've had the, people have had to share to us to learn this and then walk in it. I didn't know to do these things until after I lost my daughter, and then that tragedy enabled me to finally reach out. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then I learned about deliverance and healing after that.
Yes.
And then as time went on ministering, then I formed Deliverance Ministries Incorporated in 84. And it's gone from there with 34 years of Monday evening ministry. And so I guess a major point today is, even though there's tragedies, even though there's horrible things that happen in people's lives, we can rise above it, and often that's what got us focused. It shouldn't take that, but it did in my case, because I kind of doubt you and I would be on the phone tonight had that not happened in my life, that tragedy, and we rose above it.
You know, I remember when we lost Lori, it was only later that I finally realized she was never lost. She was found, and that she's home, and that she's with the Lord. And, you know, Lori's impact on my life, just as yours, Everett, on my life, and others who have gone through and lost children. I can't imagine losing a child. Michael and Matthew, my two sons, step daughters I have, and all of their spouses. I think about what God has done so miraculously in our lives, and has often come through the difficulty and through the challenges. I didn't think at 57 years of age that it was over, but I know this. I know that people praying is the key. I'm going to tell you something. We're not doing a movie without people praying for us right now. We're not going to move forward until we tell every author that we're working with, they have to have 31 prayer partners for every single day of the week, and that every single day of every month, and that once a month, they will pray and fast for that film. We have a project right now, Everett, called Sand in Tuscany. It's a World War II picture that Loretta Seegers wrote. Jim and I are getting ready to go to Rome together. We need people to pray for us. After that, we have another author, Beth Lambert, who's written a book called The Harvester Chronicles, and it's a story that she calls J.P. Knight's about the Joel prophecy, and it's a combination of Harry Potter and this present darkness. We're praying right now for resources for that screenplay. We have two best-selling authors, Paul McGuire and Troy Anderson, who are literally have written a book called Trumpocalypse, about the end of time and about what the revelations are revealing about prophetic words, and they are wanting to do a documentary and a film about that story. We have another project called More Than Champions that's a sports story originating with segregation between black and white in 1963 in Macon, Georgia. Again, Jim Gromer and I are working together on these projects. And let me just say this. Everett, I need you to be praying for us. I just believe that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, Ralph, and all those in your organization in Deliverance Ministries. If you guys will partner with our team, we would so appreciate that, because it's going to make the difference for the future, Everett. We really believe that.
Yes. Yes.
It's,
well,
definitely
amen.
A good work. It's definitely a good work. I mean, I'm just sitting back listening to all the opportunities you had to make films and positive films and faith-based films and just the filth that comes out of Hollywood. I imagine the time of trying to stick with your convictions plus the immorality that's out there must have really been taxing on you.
It still is. I was very blessed in January of 2017. I became the Christian Booksellers Association's first film commissioner. And I got a telephone call from a producer friend of mine who had done Blindside, and it was for the film The Shack, who Bobby Downs was really involved, and his name was never on a credit. There's so many people that make films behind the scenes. You know, I think of Cindy Bond, who just came out with I Can Only Imagine, and I think of Kevin Downs, Bobby's brother, who helped her make that film. You know, I got the chance to introduce in 2017 the film Ben-Hur that Roma Downey and Mark Burnett did, another wonderful faith-based couple that is trying to make a difference out there in Hollywood. Listen, there's a lot of people out there trying to do this right, and that's why we need ministries like yours praying for us. And, you know, we're not going to compromise our convictions. We're not going to stand down. Not going to throw something in a gratuitous way that would embarrass our families. We're going to stand for righteousness, and we're going to...
Praise God.
We just have to make those decisions, and I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for my team. I'm thankful for my family who believes in this, and for those that gave me a chance and gave me an opportunity to make movies and to make films, to try to shape our culture with morality and with stories that can inspire and can encourage. I believe that's what Walt Disney wanted to do with his life. And we've got to follow mentors that we can believe in. And I believe that if there had been a faith side to Walt Disney, that would have added a whole better dimension. But,
yes.
You know, it just takes making a decision. And there's a lot of young people out there. I'm so proud to be on the Film Advisory Board at Lipscomb University. I was recruiting a new student this last week for the graduate level of classes. And, you know, we have faith-based universities all over this country that need film schools, teaching kids how to make movies, just like shortwave radio, being ministers of media. I consider myself a media missionary, so this is just part of the big picture of what we're trying to do. So I just want you guys both to know how much I appreciate getting the chance to share my testimony today. And Everett, I can't tell you what a joy it was to be with you this week when I had the good fortune to preach that funeral for Coben Bennett and get to see you and your entire family. Y'all have been such a blessing to our lives, to all of our families.
All of them. Oh, it was awesome to see you, Kevin, and for us all to be together. It sure brought back memories of the past.
It
Kevin,
did.
In the remaining minutes that we've got here, actually we've got about 5 minutes, but what else would you say to the listeners to encourage them into the fullness of the gospel in the deliverance area?
Well, I think the first thing that I'd like Yes, thank you. Mike, I think the first thing you got to say is God is not in any box. God doesn't deal the way we deal with everything. I think that our God is so big, and he is so great, and he is so awesome and so powerful, and I don't think he has any limits. And I think for a lot of my years, I probably put my own boundaries or put God in a box. I certainly could not have imagined healing ever really taking place like what I've seen even in the last 3 years of my life. I certainly would not have imagined the miracle of being able to not be able to walk and to all of a sudden, in an instant, be healed because of prayer. I think that I just put God in a box. And I also want to say this. I've lived a lot of my life broken. I've gone through a lot of really difficult times. And I've made a lot of mistakes. And I think that it's sometimes easy to give up. But we can't give up, Everett. Ralph, we can't allow our circumstances to overtake us. We've got to realize and recognize that if we surrender, if we let go and we let God do it, then the unified chain of command is real easy. It's God on high. It is Jesus of Nazareth and his blood that changes and transforms us. And no miracle was ever done by me. It's always been him. If I just can facilitate that process with my life, then I believe God is going to do great things. And I believe he will do miracles. And I believe it's only the beginning of your ministry. You're a young 84, Everett Cox. You are still going strong. You still have that fervor. And let me tell you something. I want that. I need the same kind of energy and love that I saw. That's why I asked you to pray on Saturday, because I saw it in your eyes. I believe that miracles, I close with this, miracles begat miracles. When a miracle happens to you, there's a power that comes over you. And that power is unequivocal, and it is strong, and it is not yours. And if you just keep going to your face every day and keep asking the Lord to just forgive you of your sin, to take up your cross, to deny yourself, follow him, I believe God can use you in ways you never dreamed. And that's what my prayer is for each listener today. Sure, some of you will write a book. Maybe one day your book will be made into a movie. But I preached a message Saturday that said, to Coven Bennett, no book will ever be written about Coven. No song will ever be written. No symphony ever conducted for Coven Bennett, and no movie ever made about his life. But the hallmark he has made on my life changed me, just like Lori Cox changed my life, just like the people in my life who have come around me and prayed for us. We know that that is where miracles happen. So I just want to say miracles happen. They exist, even with old Baptist brothers like us. And we got to start thinking that the way that we think is not the way God thinks. Nor is it the way that God is going to work with us each day in our lives.
Amen. No limits. Praise God. Wow.
Yeah, there are none.
Yes, who knows what the future
testimony.
Holds.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, awesome, thank Kevin. You, Ralph. And thank you for continuing to pray for healing. And, you know, I have a friend, that Coach Hoffman, you know, that I've mentioned, since this is going over shortwave, I'm going to ask for anyone that's hearing this voice, I want you to pray with me for Coach Hoffman. He was diagnosed with cancer last week. And you know what? God's going to heal him. And the reason why I know that is because I can command this in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and it's only through his blood, and God's going to work a miracle in his life. And I appreciate you and Ralph praying for Coach Bob Hoffman of Mercer University, because the Lord is going to do something amazing, and we'll all stand back
Amen.
And say, God did it.
Yes, we agree. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God bless you, brother. Be talking to you later, Kevin.
God bless you, and thank you for having me. And we'll be praying for your ministry, guys.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Fantastic testimony on healing.
Wow.
Right out of a wheelchair. I was thinking of that. I was thinking of the man with the pallet. They got up and started walking. And with everybody telling Kevin, no, you're supposed to be in the wheelchair. I can imagine that man received the same type of. You should
I
be
love
on your
it.
Pallet. Be on your pallet. So, wow, thanks. Thanks for coming on this evening, Kevin. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We are about out of time, so see you next week. Thank you.
God bless y'all.
Verse 19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, ooh,
and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you,
nothing
will harm you.